You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the trust you put in people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. We talk a lot about the importance of multi-factor authentication on this podcast, but why does multi-factor authentication have to be such a pain for users? Well, I have some good news for you. It doesn't. Beyond Identity is the most secure MFA on the market and the easiest to use. Beyond Identity ensures that every authentication is multi-factor by default, with only phishing-resistant factors to secure access from the start. To find out more about Beyond Identity, go to beyondidentity.com/podcast to get a free demo today. Welcome to episode 285 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week are the world's most wanted co-hosts, Scott Wright and Kevin Johnson.
What are we wanted for?
I don't know. What are you
bodies?
Yes, clearly the sexiest co-host.
I mean, you see us in the magazine stand, you know.
Hey, look,
right here.
Don't shame people for liking fat, balding, older guys.
Okay, they need love too, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you put balding in there. But,
yeah. Oh yeah, no, I wasn't making fun of you. I'm talking about me. Of course, has the awesome grayish nice hair. Like, I don't know. Man,
not balding yet. Knock on
genetic
knock
library
on wood.
Lottery, you did it. Yes. Or something. I don't know.
Well, you're supposed to look at your isn't it like your brother's parents? I think
no, your mother's parents.
It's the mother's parents.
Wait,
sorry.
Wouldn't your brother's parents be yours?
Sorry. Yeah, let's just forget I even said that. All right, let's move
I'm
on.
Actually really upset because my whole life I was told that you looked at your maternal grandfather, and my maternal grandfather had, and let me be very clear, I'm not trying to impress anybody. Nobody gives a crap. I'm funny looking. I'm like, whatever. My grandfather on my mother's side had the best, he had the most beautiful silver hair. There's no other way to put it. It was just gorgeous silver hair.
Yep.
And my whole life I was told, yep, that's what you're going to have. And this is what I ended up.
Yeah, no, they were wrong. It's the I believe it's the maternal side's siblings.
Yes, right? That's
so
right.
It's passed down through the female genes, but all the siblings of the females in that family have it, right?
So, okay, we can continue to make fun of the way Kevin looks.
Now that we've got that settled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now
let's talk about tech topics.
Yes. Let's Woo-hoo! Talk about threads. And I'm not talking about the threads that is on your shirt, right? That makes your clothing, but a new social media app from Meta.
They're just popping up everywhere now.
Set to rival Twitter.
I think the best post I've seen, and I saw it on Twitter, about threads was somebody posted, I've signed up for threads so that in a couple of years I'll be part of the class action suit. And
that's a good point.
I have not signed up for it yet. I'm a little hesitant to sign up for it, which is odd for me. I'm like, yeah, sign up. Let's do it.
You were the first one on Truth Social too, weren't you?
No, actually, that's another one I never signed up for. But that's because that one was friggin' stupid. I'm sorry. God, you totally derailed me.
I saw a tweet that said it's this new threads thing is for all the people who really miss being tracked and manipulated.
So much.
The thing that I'm a little hesitant to sign up for it is, my understanding is if you sign up for it, you'll not be able to deactivate it. Delete it. I'm sorry. You can't delete it unless you also delete your Instagram account.
Correct.
And while I don't do a lot with Instagram, I have that account and I don't want to mess with it just to try something out that honestly, I don't care enough about to use.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to build a following. I'm not an influencer. I don't like that's the one that I saw that, which is, I think why Threads, as dumb a name as that is actually going to do well at some level is because, you know, like if you wanted to go to Mastodon or Blue Sky or, you know, Joe's Crab Shack's social media thing. Oh, Joe's Crab Shack's a real thing. That wasn't amazing. Okay, never mind. You have to start from zero. Jason Haddix was talking about this. Jason, amazing guy, wonderful person. He was talking about, you know, as somebody who is trying to make sure that he keeps his audience right for his stuff, for him to, you know, basically forklift over to Mastodon or forklift over to Blue Sky, he's basically starting from scratch. He has to convince people to follow him to the new platform. But he has an audience in Instagram. He's already built that reputation, whatever. So forklifting to Threads is actually not that huge of a lift. So from that aspect, I think that Threads is far and away better. But the privacy aspects of it, oh my God.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So it's already been disclosed, and you can actually look for this on your favorite app store, right? So there's already been screenshots kind of showing, comparing what Twitter collects to Blue Sky to this Threads. And it's a little, I mean, not shocking. This is Meta we're talking about, right? Facebook and Instagram get the same information. So your health data, purchase history, financial information, location, contact details, I mean, search history and browsing history. Like I said, keep in mind, this is a Meta app. So if you already use Facebook or Instagram, you should already know that you're giving away this information.
And
of course, now that you're installing yet another app from Meta, which is tied into your Instagram account. So be aware of those things.
One of the things I've seen a few people talk about, but not very many, and I think it's a very important thing to understand. If you are, for whatever reason, maintaining alternate accounts on Instagram or whatever. So, for example, I know of some people who have transitioned, but not transitioned in every aspect of their community, I think is the right way to put it. So like you've come out to your friends that you're transitioning, but you have not come out to your family yet. And so you have an alternate account. One of the things that they're reporting is that there are that Meta is crossing the streams.
Yes.
And so
because the algorithms.
Exactly. And that's not just you know, I hope we don't have any bigots listening to us. If we do, but even for not transitioning people, but people who have like, hey, you know what? I have a professional life. And so I have a professional Instagram and I have a personal Instagram and I've kept them separate, like whatever the reasons, right?
Sure.
Those things are happening because Meta tracks all of that. Yeah. And we still don't have all of the Meta's a MVP. Yeah, right. A minimally viable product. Like, what is it? It doesn't have private messaging. It doesn't, right? Like, so many of the features. And one of those features is the wall between those accounts. And so, if you have anything like that, whether it's,
It's always a challenge with new products for privacy or security, right? I mean, if you don't know whether a product is going to be, you know, viable or, you know, grow into a reasonably successful product, there's not a lot of value in putting a lot of investment in security and privacy right away until you know it's actually going to be successful.
So and I would like to reiterate the bigots.
But yes.
Sorry.
I'll be doing several bleeps on this podcast. Thank you, Kevin. Much appreciated as we try to keep that non-explicit rating. But
I forgot
that's
that.
All right. It's all good. It's all good. And myself personally, I will not be signing up for Threads because, as you all know, I have removed all of my Meta accounts several years now. I have been Facebook and Instagram free, and I'm going to continue that.
But that means you don't get to see all my cool pens.
I'm sorry. I know. You know, like I've accepted a lot of that, right? I have friends and family that, you know, have asked me the same thing of like, hey, you know, did you see my post? Did you see this, that? And I just say, well, hey, you know, I've made the personal decision to not participate because I don't agree with Meta and their policies. And that's just my decision.
As somebody who has not made the same decision, I actually think it's the right decision. As much as I'll pick on you.
That's fine. Yeah.
And I'll pick on Tom too. I'll pick on Tom too, because I know it affects so many people who are relying on him to update the Facebook privacy guide.
There is no longer a Facebook privacy guide. So, you know, yes, I've had to give
Scott,
that up.
You could do a pull request.
There's the Wayback Machine, right? But I don't know if it's still,
So, Scott.
Yes, Tom.
Why don't we jump into our favorite segment, which is Aware Much?
Yes, Tom. In this installment of Aware Much, we will be going into a deep dive into the heady, to the heady heights of airline travel scams. So Aware Much is brought to you by ClickArmor, the gamified security awareness training platform that's unlike anything you've seen before. But suppose you get an email with an offer for a really cheap flight that goes to some exotic place you always wanted to go. Why not just explore your options? You know, how bad could it be? So you reply to the discount travel agent who, you know, looks like they're official, you know, in the agency, they come from Infinity Global Travel. Must be.
Sounds really legit. Yeah.
And they assure you the flights are real and the prices are real. So you book it and you pay the agent, who says you can verify that flight exists by going directly to the airline's website and entering the booking reference number. And you see all your itinerary, your name there, and you spend the next 2 weeks dreaming about your upcoming trip. But then you go check in and the booking reference has mysteriously disappeared from the airline's website. So what black magic trickery has really occurred here? Were you just dreaming that you bought the ticket? No, your bank account says you made the payment. So what really happened? Well, the scammers in this story that are in Wired magazine, somebody in the UK actually lost $1,200 because of this. It's actually a long-standing mechanism in the airline industry that's being exploited now. Something called confirmed bookings versus ticketed bookings. So you can actually put in your information and confirm a booking, usually, I guess, with a minimal price or down payment on the flight, and you can let it go. After 2 weeks, it just disappears, and you lose your deposit. But this is what scammers are doing. They're convincing people to pay, you know, some fee for, that's unusually low, and they get the booking in the system, and it looks real, and people believe it, but then all of a sudden, it's gone and they don't get the flight. So what do you guys think of this?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mentioned this article because I've seen this mentioned a few times already on Twitter that people are being scammed around this, because I know here in the US, we've had kind of record travel numbers of people flying. In fact, I was flying the other week to San Francisco and for work, and it was probably the worst travel experience I've had in years with delays, cancellations, and all of those things. So this is, you know, people are looking for cheap and efficient flights wherever they can get them. So I think it's another example of scammers taking advantage of what's currently going on in the world.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mechanism in the airline industry that doesn't seem to have been abused too much up until now, but it's starting to become a real problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people just don't understand how, when you buy a ticket, like how that whole process works. And that's, this is an exploitation of that.
It's something I think companies kind of feel is not that sensitive, or maybe not that much of a risk. They haven't done a real risk assessment on all of its stakeholders, right? And it's a similar thing to what I saw just in the last week or two from, we got a letter from UPS, I think I shared with you guys, saying, hey, we're trying to help stop fraud and want to explain to you what is phishing and smishing. And it's actually a nice, you know, concise little description in the letter. But it turns out that people were abusing the lookup tools that help you, you know, track your packages and things like that. And they're getting scammed by the fact that that information is sort of open source and it seems like nobody else should know it. But they actually do. So I think a lot of businesses have to start thinking about those broader risks.
I disagree with one part of what you just said. And that was the very beginning where you said that you didn't think the airlines had thought through this risk. And I disagree with that. I've dealt with airlines. I've had it, you know, customers, they've absolutely thought about the risk. But they, in my opinion, they have rated it as lower than the cost to the business to fix the risk. And here's where that is, right? They have to have a means, because of the way their business works, for somebody to put a reservation in that is not a real ticket yet, because they have too many agents that are selling those seats. There's too many mechanisms to buy a seat. And that is absolutely explained. It's not explained in a way people pay attention.
Yeah.
That's a different issue.
That's sort of like your shrink wrap licensing.
I'll give you the perfect example. Have you ever walked up to a gate and said, "Hey, I'm on the 11 p.m. flight. I'd like to move to standby," right? And then listen to the number of people who complain that they didn't get onto the plane, but they were on standby. And it's like, no, that's not how that works, right? Like, standby is, hey, it's a waiting list. It doesn't mean you have a seat. And I've watched people flip out. I've watched people get arrested.
it's crazy.
And I'm a little bit more of an educated traveler just by the sheer amount of time I travel. But I think the bigger issue here that I don't see an answer to in the articles is, how did this person get connected to this travel agent?
Yeah.
Because the implied thing that happened is they received a phone call from a random travel agency and then paid them. That's not an airline issue. That's an issue of, that's the same as, hey, I'm the Clay County Sheriff, and if you don't go to Walmart and get me Amazon gift cards, you're going to be arrested.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I got a random call from a travel agent, and they said, "Hey, we've got this great deal. It's summertime. We know you're trying to travel. We think that's implied." I don't know if that's really what happened, right?
Yeah.
If that's what happened, that this person who got scammed received a phone call and gave them money, that's a different issue. If the actual issue is they were dealing with a legitimate travel agent, and then a scammer injected themselves into the middle of it. Okay, now we have an issue. How did the scammer know, right? And the fundamental issue that you're talking about is the display from British Airlines isn't clear enough. That's a UX issue.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So it's a interesting thing. So just remember, if you're getting offers to do trips or other kinds of deals that seem unbelievably true, then take some extra time to make sure that it is not only a reputable thing, but that your payments are being actually put in the right place, right? So this installment of Aware Much has been brought to you by ClickArmor. And because it really is time to start thinking about Security Awareness Month, even though it's July right now, Security Awareness Month in October, we have a special bundle at ClickArmor of 4 gamified challenges for just $100 for 6 weeks. Actually, $99, even better.
Say a buck. Yeah.
It's easy to deploy, fun for employees to play, and just takes them 3 minutes each to do for up to 100, up to 1,000 employees. You'll be on the leaderboard, and it'll be a fun way to do something really memorable for Security Awareness Month. So go to clickarmor.ca /security-awareness-month, and you can get that for $99.
So, last story of the week. Eaton, a U.S. power and electronics company, has patched a pretty serious security vulnerability that allowed remote access to thousands of smart security alarm systems. This was found in their cloud-based system called Secure Connect. And the reason I brought this one up was because it sheds light on a very popular vulnerability, which we all know and love in the industry, called IDOR, or Insecure Direct Object Reference. Now, I know, Kevin, this is a favorite of pen testers.
Oh,
would you agree?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I personally believe that if you have an application, that if you are a company that has the revenue to have a security team and actual developers building stuff, and you're not testing for this type of flaw, this is such a fundamental flaw that should happen. And we find it all the time.
All the time.
And, We see it constantly where you talk to the developer, you talk to the the people that pushed it forward, architected it, whatever. And it's like, hey, oh, but nobody will do that. No, of course somebody will do it. Right? Like, and this one, this one is fascinating. Like, oh, I can create a new account. And when I create the account, I basically say what level of privilege I have or what group I'm in. And I can set it to anything I want that's valid in the system. Yeah. Yep. Talking about a customer, we just had a customer that had a very similar type flaw where when any user could invite a new user, and when they invited the user, they set the role the user had, right? But there was no cap on it. So you could be a brand new user with no access, and you could invite yourself back to the system as an admin.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. And that's what happened here, right? The new user said, I'm part of the Esten family, or I'm part of the, you know, Secure Ideas office alarm. And the sys went, oh, okay, cool. That's great, because the Secure Ideas office alarm really needs people to take care of it. So we appreciate you taking that over. This is now, I say that they should find this. This is it's a easy to exploit flaw typically. I have not read the details. I don't think they've been released of exactly what steps the person had to take.
Yeah.
And sometimes those steps are complicated.
They can be complicated.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still this goes back to a fundamental topic in application development, is that authorization should be checked at every action, no matter what the action is. If the action, you know, oh yeah, that's okay. That's a thing we do. It's public. There's no reason to check. No, there is. You check authorization at every call. Mm-hmm. If you're not checking authorization at every call, you're going to have this issue, period.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I just wanted to bring up too, that these are, like you said, some of these can be very complex to exploit, and then other times they're extremely easy. So the ones that, you know, we find sometimes where it's literally in the GET request, the URL, and you're just incrementing or decrementing a number, like a user ID or some other number identifier. And then it just takes you to somebody else's account, right? As an example, those are the really easy ones, and almost embarrassingly easy.
And we see them in some cases very, very often.
And we see them very often. So that's why I wanted to kind of shed some light on this. Like I said, in the industry, this is very well known, but for anybody listening that may not be familiar with what a IDOR or known as insecure direct object reference is, that's what that is. And it's one of the most common
features.
Not yet. No, maybe it will be one day.
Well, I've always said I adore IDOR.
Yes.
I should have a t-shirt that says
that's actually a very good t-shirt or a sticker idea. I like this. Now the hamster wheels are turning. Thank you, guys. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. So I want to thank you both, my wonderfully and sexy co-hosts. Thank you. For gracing us with your presence.
I want to be very clear. We have to bleep curse words, but we don't have to bleep that.
No, sexy is not a curse word.
No, I think it is if you refer to me as sexy. Context. Yes. Context.
Now this episode is explicit. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah,
thank
no problem.
All right. Well, for everyone else, we will talk again next week. Thanks for listening or watching. If you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. To catch all the latest from the podcast, visit us at sharedsecurity.net. Follow us on Mastodon at sharedsecurity, on Twitter at sharedsec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit.